Well, every now and then, before the message, I share something that's important news for the congregation that I want to make sure everyone is aware of. Sometimes it's good news, sometimes it's a challenge. And today I just wanted to let you know that, as many of you know, in July we started a new fiscal year, and all the way through October we're right on the numbers and everything's going wonderful, and a lot of great things are happening during this fall. And then I don't know why, but in November, poof, have no idea why. But I just want to let you know, the coffers are a little low, and if you have an opportunity to be generous in the closing weeks of this year, it would make a huge difference to us right now. So just want to let you know that. Well, I remember reading a story about an accident that took place a number of years ago in the Gulf of Mexico. Daryl Doe was working on an oil rig when suddenly it began to wobble, and before too long it tipped to one side and it crashed into the sea. And Daryl suddenly found himself trapped inside a small room on the rig. And as the rig sank deeper and deeper into the water, the lights went out and the room where Daryl was trapped began filling with water. Thrashing about in the darkness, Daryl made a life-saving discovery. There was a huge air bubble forming in the corner of the room, and he kept his head inside of that air bubble and prayed that someone would soon find him. And as he prayed, Daryl said he felt Christ's presence with him. For 22 hours, the presence of Christ comforted Daryl. But deep down inside, Daryl knew that the oxygen supply was running low and slowly running out, and soon there would be no air left and he would die. Then, when there seemed to be no hope after 22 hours, can you imagine? Daryl saw a tiny star of light shimmering in the pitch black water of the Gulf. Was it really happening, or like after 22 hours, was he beginning to hallucinate? And so Daryl squinted, and the light seemed to grow brighter and brighter. And he squinted again, and he wasn't hallucinating. The light was real. It was coming from the helmet of a diver who was coming to rescue him. Daryl ended up being rescued from what seemed like certain death. His life was saved after spending 22 long, dark hours in the water of the Gulf. You know, the story, in many ways, reminds me of our scripture reading for today. The writer of the Gospel of John refers to Christ as the light of the world, the light in which no darkness can overcome. The Gospel of John uses the word light no fewer than 21 times, referring to Christ. And in our reading for today, a character by the name of John the Baptist, plays a major role in preparing people for the coming of the light of Christ. John the Baptist was the one who was calling out in the desert, "Make straight a way for the Lord, prepare for the Lord." And John was a very popular preacher of that day, much like Jesus. But that raised the concern of the Pharisees, who were asking by what authority he preached and baptized. They were a little upset with him. And John assured the Pharisees that he was not the awaited Messiah. Instead, he was the one preparing the way for the true light, for the Messiah, for Christ. In the words of today's reading, he, John the Baptist, came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came as a witness to the light. You know, one of the ways that we celebrate the coming of Christ into the darkness of our world is through Christmas lights. A number of people put candles in their windows, and most of us hang lights on our trees, and it all reminds us of the light that Christ brings into our light and into our world. One of the earliest memories of Christmas for me was walking through the woods with my father. In fact, I find it kind of interesting. Today would be my father's 104th birthday. Unbelievable. My mother used to get my brother, sister, and I all bundled up in our winter gear, which included a snowmobile suit, a pair of wool socks, oversized insulated snowmobile boots, ski mask, scarves, gloves, insulated underwear just for good measure. We were so bundled up that we couldn't even move. We looked like three mummies dressed to take on the Antarctic. And after about this three-hour process of getting ready for our walk, we would all hold hands and walk across the street into Forest Park. We lived in the city, but we lived right across the street from this huge park, 180 acres of trees and trails and a dirt road that went around the outside of the park. So we would go out walking out into the forest, and the further we got on the trail, the darker it got. And soon we couldn't see the lights from our house or any of the street lights. It was just total pitch black dark. And then the wind would begin to howl and the trees would creak and the branches would bend over and snow would come off the limbs and fly into our face as we trudged along the path. And then there were these noises, probably wild squirrels. But my brother told me they were really coyotes that loved to eat little kids. Don't you love big brothers? And I can remember thinking, this is a scary place. And if it weren't for my father who was walking beside us, I would be terrified. Out in the forest, wind blowing, trees creaking, coyotes, little kid eating coyotes, howling. And I grab onto my father's hand even tighter. But then, there, somewhere about halfway in our walk, there was a light that began to pierce through the darkness, and every step we took, it got brighter. On the other side of the forest, along Van Wagner Street, they had this tradition of every house, being decorated to the hilt with Christmas lights. It was part of what they did as a community. And there was one guy on the corner, every Christmas, put up this large star on a flagpole that was in the middle of his yard, and it was this huge star with a bright light, a spotlight that he focused on it. And as you walked through the forest, it was always the first hint of light that you could see as you're walking down that path. And then with each passing step, we were guided by the star, the light from the star on the flagpole. And as we moved towards it, the darkness would begin to disappear, and when we reached the other side of the park, we'd stand in awe as we looked at the lights that decorated all the homes. And I remember these walks in the forest. And as I do that, I can't help but think of the passage from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, where he writes, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light." You know, even as adults, we oftentimes find ourselves walking on some dark paths, some scary paths. And sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, it's easy to be afraid. It's easy to lose our way and think that we're alone. Yet as followers of Christ, we need to fear not. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ our Lord. So we walk with joy, not fear, because our faith in Christ gives us light for our journey. In the 119th Psalm, Psalm 19, 105, we read this: "Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path." I love the way the Message paraphrase reads, "By your words I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path." In our scripture reading for today, the writer of John's Gospel describes Jesus as being the Word of God who has existed since the beginning of time, that through him all things were made, that nothing was made without him. He writes that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, in the original Greek in which John's gospel was written, the language is even more vivid. It might be better translated as, God pitched his tent among us. I love that. God pitched his tent among us. That Jesus came and lived among us to give us true light, and that even though many didn't recognize him, he came full of grace and truth. And while the law was given by Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh. The Word pitched a tent among us to give us light in the darkness of this world so that we can live with joy no matter what we face. Now, there's three things that I hope you'll leave here today with. First is that we all face times of darkness and despair. Times where we feel like the guy in the oil rig and things feel pretty hopeless. It's in times like these that our faith can give us the ability to hang in and hold out for the light to come. Second, that as followers of Christ, we place our hope in the light that Christ brings, the hope that comes from the Word of God, through whom all things were made. You know, there are a lot of different kinds of lights out there that flash and blink and demand our attention. But there's only one true light that guides us in the ways of God, the creator and sustainer of all that is, and that is the light of Christ. I'm guessing all of us have done this, but have you ever flown into an airport late at night? I love flying in and seeing the lights of the city as you look out the window. And, you know, unless you're flying into North Korea, you see a lot of lights and thousands of them. And there's all kinds of different lights. I mean, there's lights from the freeway and streets and houses and shopping centers. It's beautiful, isn't it? But it's always my prayer as we come in for a landing that the pilot doesn't get confused on which lights to follow. It's always my prayer that the pilot is able to differentiate between the lights on the runway and the lights on I-90 or the lights at Destiny. Not all the lights that twinkle will guide you on the right path. So as Christ followers, we focus our eyes on the one true light, the light of Christ, which serves as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, a light that guides us through difficult times and difficult decisions, a light which gives us joy instead of fear as we travel on those dark paths. And third, that like John the Baptist, we have the ability to bring the light of Christ to other people. We're not the light, but we have the ability to be a testimony to the light. It's by our words and our actions and the way we live, we're like the light of the rescue diver, which gives light to people trapped in dark places. One of my seminary professors, a guy by the name of Ray Bakke, has written a lot about doing urban ministry where there's a lot of hopelessness, areas of poverty and crime and drug abuse and violence that trap many in a cycle of hopelessness. But more than just writing about it, Ray decided to do something about it. He bought a house. He pitched his tent in one of the most hopeless neighborhoods in Chicago, right by Caprini Green, if any of you know of that area, right by Caprini Green Housing Project. He and his wife and his two children didn't just talk about doing something. They moved there. They put their kids in public schools. And more than that, he challenged some of the professors from our seminary to sell their house in the suburbs, and some professors from other seminaries, colleges like Wheaton and Trinity, to buy in that neighborhood. And they did. A number of them decided to move in that neighborhood and pitch their tents. And they not only lived there, but they got to know their neighbors. And they got to know their neighbors' stories. And they worked with the city and with the police and with school officials, and they got really creative on solving some of the problems in the neighborhood. They developed neighborhood watches. They worked to bring businesses back into the neighborhood and to help teenagers find employment and build job skills through those businesses. They kind of carried out that tradition of John the Baptist, of being a witness to the light, by bringing the light of Christ's presence and hope to people who were living in darkness, by pitching their tent in one of Chicago's toughest hoods, to be an incarnation of Christ's love. Now, my guess is none of you here today will put your homes up for sale tomorrow and move to a neighborhood like Caprini Green. But there are so many ways that you can be a witness of the light to people living in darkness. Eleanor Roosevelt once said, "It's better to light a candle than curse the darkness." Bingo. And as followers of Christ, we have the ability almost every day to light a candle of hope as we allow Christ's light and love to shine through us. So as you leave this place today, know that the light of Christ displaces darkness and fear and replaces it with joy no matter the circumstances. Know that while there are many different kinds of lights that can distract us and lead us down the wrong path, that the light we seek is the one true light, and that is the light of Christ. And know that we have the ability to be a witness to the light of Christ as we seek to be his presence in this world, when oftentimes is filled with darkness. Let us pray. Lord God, as we face the darkness that can often come our way, shine your light upon us. Give us a lamp unto our feet that we might follow in your way. Give us joy even in our deserts, because we believe in your promises, that you give us light for our journey and guide us in your ways. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.